believe in reincarnation? Do you believe that some of us maybe have had past lives? If you don't believe in this kind of thing, you need to stay tuned because our guest has for 15 years investigated claims made by children, usually between the ages of 2 and 6, who say they've had past lives. They're sometimes able to give detail about those lives, and we can even trace those stories back to the actual person who may have died years before. Dr. Jim Tucker is a child psychiatrist and professor of psychiatry and neurobehavioral sciences at the University of Virginia. He's the author of 2 books that have been translated into 20 languages, Life Before Life, Children's Memories of Previous Lives, and the New York Times bestseller, Return to Life, Extraordinary Cases of Children Who Remember Past Lives. Doctor, welcome to the show. Thank you for joining us.
My pleasure.
And I'm sorry for the delay. We have our White Sox here, and they were just going a little long, but we're here and we're good. Let's talk about just before we start getting into some of the facts, because they're fascinating. How many documented cases have you seen in your during your studies?
Well, our studies actually predate me. We've been studying cases like this at the University of Virginia since the early 1960s, and ones from all over the world, basically. And we've got over 2,500 that we've studied over the years. I got involved in the late 1990s, actually, and I've studied scores of them myself, but there were a lot that were done before I got here.
Now, Dr. Yerman, you come from a medical background. You're very well educated. Before you even thought about this issue, what was your gut feeling? Is this something that you believed might be real, or did you not have an opinion on it?
I had never really given reincarnation any thought, to tell you the truth, and I learned about this work. I was reading a book by Ian Stevenson, who is the name of the psychiatrist who started this work, and frankly just called up to see if they needed volunteer help with this work, and kind of one thing led to another. And I continued to see patients, but I also spent a lot of time working on these cases.
Doctor, let's talk about a particular fact pattern. Can you tell us about one? You could pick one that kind of gives the facts and something kind of typical on how these things unravel themselves.
Yeah, sure. So there's a little boy named Ryan, and we got a letter from his mom one day from Oklahoma saying that Ryan, who is 5 years old, had been talking about a past life in Hollywood for the past year, and in fact he would cry and beg his mom to take him back to Hollywood. And then one day he saw a picture from an old movie called Night After Night, and he pointed at one of the guys in the picture and said, "Hey, Mama, that guy's me. I found me." Well, the person that he pointed to was an extra with no lines in the movie, so his mom wrote to me to see if I could help figure out who this guy was. So I went out and talked with Ryan and talked with his parents. Came back, his mom started emailing me, sometimes on a daily basis, with all these statements that Ryan was making about this past life, which, frankly, I thought was a little unlikely for someone with no lines in a movie. Eventually, with the help of a Hollywood archivist, we were able to determine who this fellow was as a guy named Marty Martin, who died in 1964. And it turned out that he did have quite a life. So Ryan said how he had danced on stage in New York, and Marty Martin danced on Broadway. Ryan said that he then went to Hollywood and worked in the movies, which Marty Martin did, working mostly on dance in the movies. He said how he had then worked at an agency where people changed their names, and Marty Martin started a successful talent agency. He said he had a big house with a swimming pool with the word rock or mount in the street address, and Marty Martin had a big house with a swimming pool on North Roxbury. Ryan even got the age of death right. He said 61. Marty Martin's death certificate said 59, but then when I looked into it, I found quite overwhelming evidence, and in fact, Ryan was even correct on that when he said 61. And altogether, we were able to verify that over 50 of Ryan's statements matched this fellow named Marty Martin.
Now, when you are watching some child or listening to some child say these things, and then you find out that these things are true, and obviously you're going to tell me that there was no way that Ryan could have known this guy, and he wasn't someone who, even if you had Google at that time, you wouldn't have been able to find out who this guy was, correct?
That's correct. There was nothing on him then. Now there is because of this case, actually.
Sure.
People have done some research, but initially there was nothing because, of course, I looked.
Now, with Ryan, how would you describe his demeanor? Was this disturbing to him, or was this a happy thing, or was this just part of who he was?
Well, it was a little bit of both, and that's often the case. I mean, he was quite upset at times about missing that life, but there were also fond memories that he would describe happily. And then, as you say, some of it was just sort of matter-of-fact coming out with these details. So it was really quite a mixed bag when he was younger, which is what we see most of the time.
Now, what happens when the Ryans grow up and they're now 10 years old, maybe, you know, teenagers? Does this still become part of their life, or does it sort of fade away?
Well, almost all the kids will stop talking about this stuff really by the age of 6 or 7. They start school, they get involved in things going on in this life. We have thought that they lose the memories. We're now learning that some of them who we have interviewed as adults, after studying them years before, say they still have some memories, but they certainly fade into the background, and then they just go on essentially to live lives like everybody else. Ryan's case it's been a few years now. He's now 15, and I had the opportunity to talk with him recently, and he's doing great. He's doing very well in school. He's got a lot of friends, and he's not thinking about his past life anymore.
That's interesting. And just from a science standpoint, and I know this is the ultimate question, and if you could answer it, you know, your work may be done. But what could possibly be the explanation for something like this? What do different people say about the science, or maybe not science, scientific reasons for a child to have a memory of a past life?
Well, I think if you accept these cases as valid, you can't really map them on to just a materialistic kind of understanding of reality that physical matter is all that there is. I mean, it certainly suggests that there is this realm of consciousness, either that we, or at least some people, have past lives and then get reincarnated, or at least there's somehow some connection between the consciousness from this Marty Martin and then 50 years later when Ryan is born, that there's some continuity. It seems that this consciousness has survived after the person died and then somehow comes back. But the mechanism for understanding that or explaining it, so far we have not determined.
Interesting. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with Dr. Jim Tucker from the University of Virginia. If you have any comments or questions, 312-981-7200.
What would we do? I guess we'd wish for reincarnation. Reincarnation. Wouldn't it be a sensation to come back?
We're talking to Dr. Jim Tucker, a child psychiatrist and professor of psychiatry and neurobehavioral science at the University of Virginia. Welcome back to the show. Let's talk about one more instance, and this is one that I've heard you talk about all over the, I think it was on the History Channel, but it's the James Leiningar. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about this situation?
Sure. So James is a little boy, and he's now grown up, but he was a little boy who had this Christian parents in Louisiana, and around the time of his second birthday, he started having horrible nightmares multiple times a week of a plane crash. He'd be kicking his legs up in the air and screaming, "Airplane crash on fire, little man can't get out." And During the day, he would take his little toy airplanes and say, airplane crash on fire, and bam, slam them into the coffee table. And I've got a picture of their coffee table. There are dozens of scratches and dents. So he was really acting like a kid who had been traumatized, even though he hadn't been through any trauma. And then he was able to talk about this stuff during the day some. He said how his plane had crashed on fire. It had been shot down by the Japanese, and how he had flown a Corsair, which was a special plane that was developed during World War II. And then one time his parents asked him, he talked about flying off of a ship, and his parents asked him about the name of the ship, and he said Natoma. And it turns out that there was a USS Natoma Bay that was stationed in the Pacific during World War II. And James also said how he had been killed at Iwo Jima, and in fact, the Natoma Bay was killed. The Natoma Bay was involved in the Iwo Jima operation. In addition, for his name, he always just said me or James, but they asked him one time who else was there, and he said Jack Larson. Well, eventually, his father did a bunch of research, including going to a Natoma Bay reunion, and he learned that there was only one pilot from the ship who was killed during the operation, and that was also a James. That was a man named James Houston. And on the day that he was killed, the pilot of the plane next to his was named Jack Larson. So this was one where you have a very young child who's given specific details like Natoma Bay and Jack Larson, and it all proved to be accurate for this pilot from a completely different part of the country who was killed in World War II.
Fascinating. And if you go online, you can actually watch James talk a little bit about his thoughts and his memories. And he gets quite emotional because it was very traumatic for him to be in a plane crash. And he has a recollection of having crashed in a plane. It's just really...
Well, that's right. And I recently talked with him. And he's now, I think he's 21. He's a young adult. But the only memory that really has stuck with him is the dread of knowing that he was about to die.
Yeah.
So that's a terrible thing to still carry with you into a new life.
Fred has a good question. Fred, welcome to the show. You have a question for Dr. Tucker.
Yes, Doctor. I was just wondering, in any of these cases, did any kids crack a cold case? For instance, like said they were Lee Harvey Oswald, and one thing led to another and knew everything about Lee Harvey Oswald or somebody infamous like him.
Good question.
Yeah, we don't. Well, we're a little bit skeptical, to be honest, about cases involving famous people because there's so much opportunity to hear about that person. So not necessarily like there would be intentional fraud, but just that people kind of put pieces together kind of by accident, create a case. But no, we don't have any of infamous people like Lee Harvey Oswald or Hitler or anything like that. There were some cases in Asia where the child has reported things that have been used in a court case against somebody, but not any here in the States.
What do you mean by that?
Well, where the child would give details about having been killed or about crimes that took place, and then that testimony would at least be considered in the court case.
Oh, my gosh, how interesting. Let's talk a little bit about some of the commonalities in the cases. You said there are about 2,500 that have been documented over the years by you and your predecessors in this endeavor. What are some of the things that you can bullet point for our listeners that you see in common?
Well, you mentioned the age, and this tends to be very young kids that are talking about these things. The average age when they start talking about a past life is 35 months. So it's usually a 2 or 3 year old who starts coming out with these things. They are typically describing a recent ordinary life. They're not talking about being famous people, but just somebody usually recent. Now, with Ryan, that was an exception. Well, and James Leiniger, too. Those were both decades. But the average interval between lives is only 4.5 years, so it's usually quite a recent life. And the one part of it that's often out of the ordinary is how the previous person died. So in 70% of the cases, the previous person died by unnatural means, meaning murder, suicide, accident, combat, that sort of thing. And even the ones who die natural deaths typically die young. So that there seems to be something about dying violently or dying young that makes it more likely that a child will later have memories of that life. A lot of the children also will show themes from the past life in their behavior. I mentioned James with his nightmares and with his plane crashing. Many of the kids will play compulsively, most often the occupation of the previous person. Many of the kids will have phobias related to the mode of death. So in the violent death cases, 35% of the kids will show an intense fear toward how the previous person died. So, for instance, there was one little girl who, from the time she was born, hated being in water. It would take three adults to hold her down to give her a bath when she was an infant. And then when she got old enough to talk, described a girl who had died in a nearby town, died by accidental drowning.
Doctor, you talked about in one of the speeches you gave about a little boy who came back and he had been murdered by somebody, and then he was in the presence of the person that, and he was actually angry at the person. Is that, do you remember this story?
Maybe yes, I'm not getting the facts right. It wasn't a murder, actually. It was a young man who had been killed in a hunting accident by a friend.
Right, right.
And then this little boy was born in the same village and had memories of his young man who was killed. And then when he was two, he tried to choke the fellow who had accidentally killed the previous person.
For no reason
at all.
And
we see that a lot, where when the person died, usually when they're murdered, then the child can express a lot of anger about the things that happened, along with a lot of sadness that many of them show as far as missing the previous family.
Another fascinating thing that you were talking about is how children might be born with certain physical manifestations or birthmarks. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about that?
Well, that's right, and these are cases that my mentor, Ian Stevenson, was fascinated by. He eventually wrote a book with over 250 of these cases. It's where the children have birthmarks or full birth defects that match wounds, usually the fatal wounds on the body of the previous person. So, for instance, there's one little girl who remembered the life of a man who was murdered and had his fingers chopped off, and this little girl is born with really gnarled, deformed fingers. There was another little boy who remembered the life of a boy in another village who had lost the fingers of his right hand in a fodder chopping machine. And this second boy, his left hand was perfectly normal, but his right hand just had stubs for fingers.
It's just bizarre.
Well, it is bizarre. And Ian Stevenson, again, my mentor, also listed 18 cases of kids who were born with double birthmarks, ones where they had two birthmarks that matched both the entrance wound and the exit wound on the body of a gunshot victim.
My goodness. Does religion have anything to do with this, in your opinion? I mean, do we have to believe in God or a certain religion in order to explain this? Or is this something scientific, or could it be both?
Well, I think it's both. I mean, you certainly don't need to include God or religion in this. I mean, you can look at it from a purely sort of scientific standpoint and look at how it seems that consciousness may not be wholly dependent on the physical brain, but may be able to continue on and been attached to a new brain. At the same time, I mean, if you want to look at it in spiritual terms, you can do that. And Most of the American families, most of them are Christian, but they did not believe in reincarnation before their children started talking about a past life. And what they have done, so for instance, James Leininger's father is very religious. He just incorporated their experiences into his continued Christian beliefs. It's just he felt in this case that James had survived death and then had come back into a new life.
There are people who hold themselves out as able to conduct a past life regression and look at your past lives. There are people in Chicago who claim to be trained in doing this. Do you think that those people can actually do that? And have you ever paid somebody to do that?
No, we're quite skeptical, actually, of hypnotic regression, mainly because hypnosis can be a very unreliable tool, even for memories of this life, where sometimes it's amazing and people recall, like, license plate numbers from crime scenes or whatever. But a lot of times, the mind just fills in the blanks. And then it's very hard for the person to know if it was an actual memory or fantasy. And when you're talking about these ancient lives, often in a person who's been in a suggestible state of hypnosis, then it becomes very questionable. Now, having said that, there are a very small number of cases where a person has come up with a lot of information that seemingly they could not have obtained by normal means. But the vast majority of hypnotic regression cases, as far as we can tell, they may well be therapeutic, but they don't seem to be connecting to actual past lives.
Dr. Jim Tucker, thank you so much for joining us. Two books, Life Before Life, Children's Memories of Previous Lives, and the New York Times bestseller, Return to Life, Extraordinary Cases of Children Who Remember Past Lives. Thank you for joining my show. It was really very interesting. Take care.
Well, it's great talking to you.
All right, take care.